John chapter number 5 tonight, starting in verse 8, John 5, 8. Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible says this, and immediately in verse 9, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You can almost hear in my head Brother Sutliff saying, uh-oh. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same, said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. I have no idea what happened. A guy showed up and he just told him, I don't know, I was blind, all I know is I can see now. Praise the Lord for that. That's good. That's good. That's what they were just singing about. As we continue the passage, then they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. A multitude being in that place, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Verse 16, And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for who you are. God, there's a lot of things I just don't understand. But God, I know I don't have to worry. Lord, the multiple songs tonight just talked about just trusting you. Giving up on worry, giving up on fear, giving up on anxiety, and just knowing that you're ahead of us, that you're behind us, that you're right there with us. God, thank you. God, I know in this passage we'll see your tender hand again. Lord, I pray that you'd bless tonight's sermon. Lord, as we study who you are, that we would walk away having a deeper appreciation for your Son, our salvation, and look forward to that glorious day when we can see you face to face. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of strange that the Jews persecuted Jesus because he did this on the Sabbath. You would think the ideal response would be just opposite of that. A great miracle happened. A man that they were unable to help for 38 years. Jesus just comes by and just with his word says, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. We're going to see something special here. Tonight we're going to see seven things in which Christ and the Father are alike. And then we're going to look a little bit at some resurrections. And many of you want, I say many of you, really my son wants to know how far in the passage are we going. Verse 32 tonight, Sam. Did I speak untruth? Okay, very good. All right, we'll get through verse 32 tonight. But again, seven things, if you're taking notes, seven things in which Christ and the Father are alike. We start in verse 17. It says, But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Number one, the work of the Father and the Son were alike. And I think this miracle is a great demonstration of that, because regardless of what day it was, the Lord was meeting needs. Isn't it good to know that, hey, regardless of what day it is, Christ doesn't meet with us on Christmas or the first day of the week or whatever it may be. No matter the day, God's work is getting done, whether it's the Sabbath day or not. And that's an encouragement to us. You know, tonight we were talking about, there's a lot of worries in this world. A lot of songs are reminding us, be careful for nothing, but in by everything, by prayer and supplication, what let your requests be made known unto God. When it says be careful for nothing, it's pretty much saying, hey, you don't got to worry about anything. But I'm telling you, you talk to people, and people are fretful between the economy and health and the government and what's going on, and it's just getting worse and worse. People are fearful. Hey, we got a God in heaven that's still seated on the throne. I've got no worries. The worst case scenario for this world is honestly my best case scenario. This whole thing goes upside down crazy. I can't... I don't know how many more times we can turn this thing upside down. We're going to be right side up pretty soon. But the work of the Father and of the Son were the same, that they were alike. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Again, we see that in verse 17. Again, a great demonstration that God will take care of you and I, even on the Sabbath day. Amen? Even on what, regardless of the day. Hey, you got no worries tonight. Either God is who He says He is or He's not. And I've yet to see Him fail. In verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. And you mark that down. You write two letters next to that. J-W. Say, why would I do that? Just in case you come across a Jehovah's Witness. And they say, no, Christ was a created being. He's not equal with the Father. Well, it says here, making Himself equal with God. Amen. Equal with God. Hold your hand here, John chapter number 10. Again, a verse we've looked at many a times, but if you're writing cross references down, if you want to jot a little note down, this is a good one to put down. John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Again, the Jehovah's Witness would love to slip in this phrase, in purpose. But that's not the context. If you read verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Why? Because He just called Himself God. Punishable by death. Go back to John chapter number 5 and verse 18. Said also that God was His Father, making Him equal with God. Number 2, we'll find in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto Him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Number 1, we saw they were alike in work. Number 2, and we saw this a little bit this morning, they were alike in will. This verse indicates that there really are no limitations on Christ other than He limited Himself to only fulfill the will of the Father. I am only going to do what the Father bid me to do. The Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. Hey, that'd be a good approach for us, yes? God, I'm not going to do anything outside of Your will. Wow, if we got a hold of that, what would be different in our life? Well, the right answer should be nothing. We should be doing this. Can I tell you, right living is no surprise to anybody. It's not, can I tell you, of all the counseling sessions and all the meetings that I've had about people struggling in their faith, it's just doing what they already know to do. If I said tonight, hey, tonight you got to get right with the Lord. And we just opened up the altars and said, all right, it's just you and God. Just get right with God tonight. Hey, you know what's not right in your life. You know what's contrary, what you're doing contrary to the will of God. Why live there? Hey, what a great encouragement to us. Jesus just saying, you know what, I'm just going to do the will of my Father. The will of the Father and the will of the Son were alike. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. That ye may marvel. A knowledge. Number 3. The knowledge that the Father had, He bestowed upon the Son. You and I can't handle that kind of information. This past week, is Hudson here? Where's Hudson? Hudson, all the way. Y'all, I don't know why you keep moving stuff, all right? I mean, if you're in a different place all the time, that'd be great. So Hudson had, this week, he had a math problem to do. He was doing a review packet, and at the end, he's like, Dad, I need help with this. I said, all right, let's take a look. And so we're looking at it, and I showed him the process. He's like, I don't know how to do that. You're talking about things that are beyond me. I haven't learned that yet. Now, certainly he's teachable in that area, but there's things that the Father revealed to Christ and showed him and had a knowledge of things that you and I could not handle. God could not reveal everything he knows to mortal man. We just could not comprehend it all. I told you I'm reading that book, Knowledge of the Holy, and I recommend it. You want to get a hold of who God is and well-articulated words. You pick up Tozer's book, Knowledge of the Holy. Say, is it big? It looks nothing like this. It looks more like this. Say, okay, I can read that. Oh, it's going to take a little while to digest it, though. It's got 4 pages of information that you're just going to have to stop and think about a little bit. But he's talking about the knowledge of God. And he starts making reference to the things that he knows and how he knows those things and his ability to reason. And, oh, that's nothing like you and me. No, but that knowledge he gave to the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Christ had knowledge. How often do we see that when he comes up to somebody and he knows what they're thinking? That's special. He knows what's going on inside their heart, in their mind. Right. Number one, they had a like work. Number two, a like will. Number three, a like knowledge. Number four is found in verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. Again, we said that this morning, I think, to be made quick. Was it in Sunday school or in here? I think it was in Sunday school. Quick isn't like a Zeke fast. It's not talking about that. It's talking about being made alive, all right? It's not a 40-yard dash. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Here we see the power of God. Similar and alike, the ability to give life and quickeneth them. You know that phrase at the end, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, we look at that and go, well, what do you do with that? Does that mean he will and he won't? You're in, you're out? No, that's not what that means. What that means is you've got to do it his way. Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's got a plan. He's got a course. This is the way for eternal life. And if you go his way, you got it. You got to be careful that, again, Christ has all power. So did the Father alike. Number 5 in verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. A divine honor. Honor's a pretty high up word, a lofty word, if you would. How do we show honor? How do we show honor to the Father? How do we show honor to the Son? They're both entitled to it. It says it in verse 24. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So how do we do that? By reverence, by obedience, by sacrifice. In verse 24, the power to impart life. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In the time that Christ spoke these words, it was the Pharisees, as we read in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought more to kill him. At that point, They were looking to come after him. Hey, if he made claims like that today, you know who would be after him? Evolutionists, those that were against life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm telling you, the doctrine of creation is being attacked across this land. It's contrary to God. God has the power to impart life. Let me help you with something. We do not create life, nor do we have any right to take a life. There's no life that is more or less valuable. God has given us all life. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Lastly, seventh, Christ and the Father have judicial power and authority. You know, the Pharisees will ask, go with me to Matthew chapter 21. They have a hard time with authority. It's a good thing to teach your kids to respect authority. Say, why is that? Well, number one, it teaches them to have a natural fear of or respect for those that are in charge. And as that goes, so it goes towards their respect and honor towards the Father. The Pharisees had a hard time with authority. And if you look at Matthew chapter number 21 and verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? You'll find similar passage in Mark chapter 11 and Luke chapter number 20. So when we go back to John chapter number 5, and it says this, and hath given, in verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Here's the thing with the judgment of Christ. Christ is our judge in himself. Say, what does that mean? Well, the Father is the judge, but what he puts you up against is Christ. See, we want to be weighed against one another. I just got to do better than the next guy. I just got to outrun the other guy. I just got to be a little less dirty than the next guy. No, no. On the other side of the balance, our judgment is Christ. Amen. Say, what's the problem with that? Well, he's perfect. So that's one judgment that you don't ever want to go up against. Say, am I going to be tried against Christ? You are. And you know what? When we stand there with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that balance is equal. That's amazing to me. Yeah, we will be judged according to Christ. If you look at verse number 28, both had judicial power and authority. In verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. As we look at this passage a little bit, there's some resurrections in the Scriptures. See, that's kind of weird. Things that are dead coming to life. Hold your hand here. Let's look at some of these. Matthew chapter number 27. This is going to be a neat little study for you. I hope it's an encouragement to you. The resurrections in the Scripture. Matthew 27. In verse number 52. Well, look at verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Matthew 27, 51. Are you there? All right. You're there? Okay, good. Brother Sutliff gave us the green light. Go. The Bible says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. So we know what just happened. What is our context? Benjamin, what's happening here? Do you know? Jesus just died. The veil is torn in two, which is somewhat strange to begin with, right? It was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. But look at verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Say, explain that. I think it's very clear what happened. Say, why'd that happen? Because God said it to happen. All of a sudden, grandma's knocking at your door again. Yeah. Number one, dead bodies arose and walked the earth at the time of the resurrection of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. I think that's one fact that we sometimes look over. That's a kind of scratch your head kind of thing. That's also, I kind of wish I was there, and then I kind of wish I wasn't. I'm glad I wasn't. I'd have a hard time processing that. My mom's been gone for 22 years. It'd be strange if she showed up at the house. I don't know what I would do with that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd probably be in trouble, is what it would. It'd be. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto all men. Say, what is that talking about? That's all the Old Testament saints. That's when Abraham's bosom got closed. When you died in the Old Testament, you'd go to a place called Abraham's bosom. We see that in Luke chapter number 16. And Christ tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus and there they are, and one's in Abraham's bosom, and because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right. And Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, went down there. I don't know what it was like. I don't know what the sermon was or whatever, but he just shows up and says, I'm he. Do you believe? And something to that effect. And on the other side is hell. And he cleared that place out, and he led captivity captive. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints into heaven. The next resurrection that we're looking forward to is 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Sorry, in chapter 4, or Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is the rapture of the saints. This is the calling out of the church. That's the next event on the prophecy spectrum, if you will, the timeline. That's what we're waiting for. We're just being faithful. It can happen at any moment. Any moment. Say, is that the last one? As we read in John chapter number 5, there's a resurrection unto life and a resurrection of damnation. And we'll get to the damnation one at the very end. If you look at Revelation chapter number 7, Revelation chapter number 7, in verse 9, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Jump down to verse 14. And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, halfway through the tribulation, there's a resurrection of some saints. Now, the majority of the saints are already there. But halfway through, there's another resurrection. It tells us that these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Now, if you go ahead in chapter 11, we have a resurrection of two witnesses. Just a fun little study of some things to come. I don't want to say fun. An interesting study. In verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God and entered into them. They're dead. And they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. You know, I love to read old doctrinal books and studies. I have a book by a guy by the name of Clarence Larkin. And he wrote about some of this stuff. I think some of his stuff dates to like 1910, 1911, 1909. He documents the dates of his. And when he describes this stuff, this is the two witnesses, and here they are. And the Bible says that the whole world shall see them. And you know, when he writes that, he's imagine if you went back in time 110 years. No streaming services, no cell phones, no TV, no internet, none of that. And you're reading this, and you're trying to make sense of how on earth could the entire world see one image? I don't know what they preached back then, but he describes it as, I don't know how God's going to do it. He's just going to do it. Amen. Now we look at it and go, well, it makes perfect sense now. And in 1 second, we watch the entire world. And there are these two witnesses, and they die. And the Bible says that there they are, and they die in the middle of the street, and they see them there, and they stay there for 3.5 days. And then what happens? The Lord brings them back up, and he calls them up hither. And the whole world is fearful of that. Lastly, Revelation chapter number 20. In verse 10, the Bible says, And the devil was deceived, that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. Oh, look at these good words. Forever and ever. Hey, while you're spending eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your Savior, the devil's being tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what hell was created for. In verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. That's the last thing you want, is to be judged according to your works. because there is not enough good that you could ever do to take away your sin. This is one of the scariest scenes that you'll ever see. And death and hell were cast in the lake and fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. They're brought out of hell, judged, and then cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's the resurrection of damnation. You know, today, if you're here today and you're not saved, hey, these things are serious. These things are real. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Do you know that the rapture of the church could happen tomorrow? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the reality of the thing. And in a moment, we could all be standing before God, stepping into eternity. At a moment. Hey, that resurrection could happen in a second. At the same time, you could take your last breath. And then the choice to choose Christ is all over. Hey, if I could encourage you tonight, get real and get serious about the things of God. This isn't a joke that we're not playing around. This is real. Those things are real. John chapter number 5, as we conclude this passage. We saw the seven places where Christ and the Father were similar. We've looked at some resurrection of life and resurrection of damnation. The Bible says in verse number 29, "And shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Christ says this, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." I know that wording is a little tricky and a little, maybe a little bit different than what you're used to. So Christ here, and he's leading somewhere in this passage, and we'll pick it up next time, probably not next Sunday night, because we're going to have early service and Pastor Seatman is preaching next Sunday Sunday afternoon. But maybe in a couple weeks when we come back to this, he's talking about some witnesses. The law was no one was condemned with only one witness. You needed multiple witnesses. No one was proven with only one witness either. Multiple witnesses were necessary. And Christ is going to go and prove himself and his deity, number one, through, he's going to prove it through John the Baptist. He's going to prove it through his works. He's going to prove it through what the Father says and through the Word of God. And so that's kind of what he's talking about here. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. I judge and my judgment is just. See, that's the difference between Christ and us. His judgment is just. Jump over to John chapter number 8. Here's the problem with man. Our judgment is not. John chapter number 8 and verse 15. "Ye judge after the flesh." Isn't that true about us? "I judge no man." Christ himself isn't really judging anybody. He is the thing, as I told you, by which we are compared to. He is the judgment. But he himself is not judging. If you look at John chapter number 7, John chapter number 7, look at verse 24. "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Isn't that what we do? We base things on what we see. Here's what God knows. God knows our hearts. He knows perfection. In verse 31, it says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Again, we understand the law here in John chapter number 5 and verse 31. "There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that that witness which he witnesseth of me is true." Again, a reference to John chapter number 8, but again, that's how we're going to conclude this passage, the witnesses of Jesus. And we'll pick that up in a couple weeks, but I want to remind you here tonight that the things that Christ did were so alike the Father in those seven different ways. And that point about the will, Such an important thought here tonight. If we could just revisit that just in our minds. I know we've talked a lot about a lot of things. Again, remembering that the Lord does a great work and He's with us even on the Sabbath days. But as we look at verse 19 again, let us just go parting with this thought. John chapter 5 and verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do." Hey, can I ask you to consider your life again? Are you doing the will of the Father? Hey, is there things in your life that you know are not right? That if you had to get right with the Lord, you know exactly what to talk to Him about. Hey, why don't you adjust that? Why don't you fix that? Say, why would I do that? Because it's right. Because it's right. Let us remember this, that there is a resurrection. And at any moment, we could be right before the Lord. Any moment. The Bible says it just takes a twinkling of an eye. Man, that's quick. That is quick. You're not going to have time to fix things. You know, they tell you, if your house is on fire, just get out. You're not going to have time to grab things. And I always think, well, on the way out, I could grab probably a couple things. Like people, right? I could get a couple people. When that trumpet blows, that's it. It's not like, hey, I just want to tell you one thing real quick. Hey, I just want to fix one thing real quick. Hey, that is over. Why don't you live today as if that could happen right now? Let's all stand. You know, John chapter number 3, so familiar, Nicodemus. John chapter number 4, the woman at the well. And I know John chapter number 5, as we progress through there, some of the wording and things, and say, I don't understand. Hey, revisit those things. Study those things. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach you about those things, that we would draw closer to Him. Tonight, sometimes on Sunday nights, just because of the style of the message, we don't always open up the altars. But tonight, I don't know, I just feel led. Again, if we're just to get real honest between us and the Lord. No, everything's perfectly fine between me and God. I am ready to meet God. Well, praise the Lord. But if there's things in your life that you know ought not to be there, why don't you come get those things settled tonight? Don't go another moment. Don't go another day. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. And God, thank you for your perfect example. And God, our desire is to do the will of the Father. Lord, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves before you and make right with you, Lord. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Altars are open.